Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to try that again. Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
We got people sitting, listening in, waiting for us to get started. Praise God. That's the beauty of being live, though.
Amen.
We are here and so glad to be together when so many can't be together. We're taking advantage of the privilege of being together as God's people. He's called us back together. He's allowed us to make it to be here together. And together we get to go before his presence in worship. Let's acknowledge who this is we worship. First and foremost.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who was on the mountain, rescue the souls of men.
Thank you.
Our responsive reading this morning is found in the 32nd Psalm, the 33rd. I'm getting tired, y'all. I'm trying to fry this morning, so I'm relying on his grace this morning. 33rd Psalm, it reads as follows. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre, supposed to be. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is good and just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth.
The Lord hears the folk, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the seas to the boundaries, and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone sing in awe in him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command.
The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance.
The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the holy grace. From his throne he deserves all who live on the earth. He made their hearts so he can understand every day. The best of his hearts cannot save the king, nor his great strength enough to save the war. Don't count on your war horse to do victory. For all the strength, he cannot save you.
Kevin. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone.
Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the gathering, Lord, of your saints, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be here, Lord, because we didn't have to be here, Lord. But you chose this day, Lord, for us to be here, Lord. We're thanking you, Lord, for all of the blessings that you have given us, Lord. Spiritual blessings, Lord. All of the blessings, Lord. We thank all of those, Lord, who are here, Lord, because they love you. And you loved us first, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for letting us magnify your name, Lord. Glorify your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did you read that? The world makes plans. Nations make plans.
Mm-hmm.
But their plans can't stand. Our Father made a plan a long time ago before he created this world. And he executed that plan so far to perfection. It may not look like it, but you alone standing here who believe in Christ Jesus know. Because of the cross, his plan is at work. business. That's not just the collective, that's personal. I just have to stop and have to stop and think about that. In Psalms, I have a word that says S-E-L-A-H sometimes. You'll see it. Selah. It means to stop and think about it. So stop and think about it. The most outrageously powerful, complete war victory was won not on a battlefield, not in a boardroom, not in the halls of Congress, but at the cross. At the cross. The most outrageous form of love to ever be demonstrated was at the cross. That's what we got to understand. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the spirit of God led Jesus to the cross, to a place of sacrifice for us, not for himself, for me. So when you think about that and you come into this house and some of us, we're tired, the weather is getting up, I'm not sleeping well, but I get my joy from Jesus going to the cross and setting me free, and one day permanently free from all of this foolishness. We won't have to worry about what the weather report is or what they're doing in Washington or not doing most of the time. We will only get to sing the praises to the one who has saved us. So we do that now, not just to remind and encourage ourselves, but to keep us moving forward. Because it was at the cross. And because of the cross, we give thanks. We give thanks. Yeah, we give thanks. In many ways.
Thank you.
Anything but good. He's good. He's worthy to be praised. I know some people might say, that song just keeps repeating itself over and over again. Well, that comes right out of the word. That's the song. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And the one who wrote it, they would write it to sing as they were going into the presence, to the temple of the Lord, and they would say, for he is good, and then they would say, why was he was good? They would say, because he brought us out of bondage.
Amen.
He kept us in the wilderness.
Yes,
he brought us through our trials.
Mm.
He brought us through a trouble. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He provided for our need. Give
yes.
thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He kept us in the pandemic.
Yes.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He kept us in the economic downturn. Give
mm-hmm.
thanks to the Lord, because he is good. He kept us when we were sick. He is good. He kept us when the person died. He's good.
Amen.
He kept us when we almost died. He's good. He's kept us. He's
yes.
good. Give thanks to the Lord. He's
thank
good.
You, Lord. Thank
he's
you.
Good. We don't have to be here. We don't have to be able to enter into the presence of the Most High God freely. Hebrews tells us to run, come boldly to the throne of grace. That means you don't have to get permission. You just come in, show up. And you say, but you don't know what I was doing last night or what I was thinking about or no. You're covered by the one who went to the cross for you. So that gives us access. And, oh, by the way, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So he is never not with us. So today we're going to sing along because I deleted something on accident. But it's all right, because it's good to sing together. Who is like the Lord in all the earth? Who's like God, our God?
No one.
No one. He's good. He's God. And we anxiously await the day when we can see him face to face and give thanks. Because he's good. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. That's what worship means. Give him what he's worth. That's in his presence while we sing this song.
Who is like the Lord in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty everywhere. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, Lord, a cup that won't run dry. Your presence is
Your presence is heaven.
Rest there. Just don't move, y'all. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus this morning. We thank you because of Jesus, we can be in your presence every day, all day. All we have to do is desire it. Father, we confess this morning that we turn to other things for thirst to satisfy us, to food, to drink, to whatever it is, Father. We're human. We all know we're flesh, and we fight a battle because we thirst after things that don't please you. But we thank you, Father, because those things do run dry. They make us thirsty for the true and living water, and we thank you for Jesus this morning. We're coming together individually but collectively to magnify the name of Jesus this morning. There's nobody greater. There's nobody more worthy. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. We are here to declare today the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. There is no other. He is the only way to you, Father, and he is the only reason we can come in your presence. As we have been washed in his blood and we have been raised from death to life, we thank you for Jesus this morning. We pray and we're here. We're thirsty. We admit it. We're not thirsty for this world. We're thirsty for a word from you this morning. So we're ready, Lord. We're open because we are thirsty. We are tired. We need refreshment, and it can only come from you that will sustain us in this day to do your will and to magnify and glorify the name of Jesus. Lord, you have already breathed on your servant. Your word has already been exalted, but we're just coming to reach and grab it and drink. Pour through him, and pour through him until he has exhausted every drop that you have given him. And let us take it, and let those rivers of living water flow through us as we leave this place and we go out into a dry and thirsty land. We need you in this hour. There are places in our land, Father, where there is not enough water. And there are places in our land where there is too much water. But we thank you because, Jesus, you are the cup that never runs dry. And you never drown us, but you hold us up. You buoy us in your love. We exalt you today. We praise you. We magnify you. We say thank you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let it rain, let it rain. Pour out the windows of heaven. Let it rain, let it rain. Pour out the windows of heaven.
All right, cool. That's what happens when you cut the mute off, you can hear. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for covering us. We thank you, Elder Brother, for going to the cross in our place. Lord, help us to be good soldiers of the cross. Help us to take our mission serious. Help us to realize that we have the calm in the middle of chaos, and that's you. We thank you so much for everything. We thank you for this day. We thank you for those who are here, those who are listening. All our brothers and sisters around the world, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So y'all know how the Lord always does with me. He always waits and waits and waits until what I consider to be the last minute for the word to be delivered. But the Lord does that personally with me because he wants me to trust him. He wants me to exercise my faith in him. So I'm learning to embrace it, even though it's nerve-wracking. I believe in preparation. I believe in having things in order. But one thing I've had to learn is that the Lord is who orders any and everything, including germ. So whether you have some control freak in you or not, it's really not up to you. Really doesn't matter what you think or how you feel about a thing. So once we embrace that, it'll get easier a little bit. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to draw your attention to verses 8 through 15. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. 2 Timothy 2, 8 says, "Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those that God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word." Let's look back at verse 8. It says, "Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach." This was intentional in this passage for two reasons. In verse 8, to show Jesus' divinity and humanity. The first part was because you had back then false teachers, and you have today false teachers, where all they care about is their agenda. Typically, their agenda is wrapped in attention and money, and that's the reality. So really, when the word says there's nothing new under the sun, this is all a rerun to the Lord. It's new to us. But he says, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, he came through David's family line, blood relatives, because he wanted people to understand Jesus was human. We celebrate Christmas and we think it's about Black Friday and we think it's about, you know, shopping and Amazon Prime Day and all that foolishness. But Jesus actually was born in a manger, in a barn, as a human baby. I couldn't imagine But I've been in the barn or two my life, and there's nothing pleasant about the way they smell. So if you walk through a barn, you would never forget that smell. And it says she was a descendant of King David, but was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. So that shows Jesus' divinity. Because the truth of the matter is when we leave, when we're considered dead and our vitals stop and everything, we don't come back like he did. We come back with him. That's later on in the Bible. But when we leave, we leave. Jesus left and came back to finish his mission. So that's the good news that we should preach. That's the good news. You don't have to be a preacher to preach or teach. You can tell somebody about Jesus. And it's easy. I don't care if it's by way of a text message, a phone call, a face-to-face conversation. For years, I heard at River Rouge Bible tell me that, hey, be a witness for Christ, be a witness for Christ. I come to run for Christ. Hey, be a witness for Christ, be a witness for Christ. Our job description is real simple. Be a witness for Christ. And everything you do, be a witness. Now, you don't have to preach to somebody till their ears bleed. Just tell your story. I've had to tell my story, and it's rehearsed now. Hey, Dr. Pelham Love talked about the realities of hell on Halloween because we used to have a celebration at the church. I won a costume contest for my age group and got my first Bible and got saved that night. October 31st, 1987. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. So I asked the Lord to my heart and life, and I got saved. That wasn't even 2 minutes of talking. Your story may be a little longer, may be shorter. But clearly we have a job. Be a witness for Christ. Amen? Verse 9 says, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be changed. How many of us go through something every day? We all do. Whether it's a headache, your toe hurt, your back hurt, you don't want to get out of bed. I'm finding out the older I get, I don't want to, it's harder to get up. I was joking with a brother of mine. We've been cool since we were 10. And I said, man, it's crazy how you can just yawn and catch a cramp. But me and Tom, we 44, you know. That might be a baby to some of y'all, but this is my first time with it. And it's different. I was reminded of that playing basketball against my son in Kalamazoo. The pain lasted about 3 or 4 weeks after the game. And I said, this is over. No more basketball for me. I will coach. I will cheer you on. I'll bring the Gatorade. But it's over for me. So we all suffer through something. It's been times in my life, I remember being at the hall where people would say, no matter what you're going through, you're always smile. At the time, I had a cast on. I was a new father. I was dealing with a sick mother. It was just one thing after another. Can't get right. And you feel like that sometimes in life. The Bible says we will have trials and tribulations. It's not going to be peachy. It's going to be what it is. Now, when you look at it like this, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. Pause that. Nobody's arresting us for what we believe as far as our faith in Jesus. Now, we've talked about this before, about these dungeons. It wasn't like the little jails we got now. Our jails are still ratchet, but you sitting in a dungeon that's rat infested, where they nibbling on your limbs. Because rats like meat, and they got nice teeth. All because he believed in Jesus. So I'm suffering, I'm chained like a criminal, but he understood the word of God can't not be changed. It's going to execute God's will no matter what you do or what anybody else doesn't do. The word is going to go forth. Somebody, even the rocks that they got to, will cry out and say, hey, I know the good news. Let me share it with you. Real simple job description, right? One-liner. Now, we should be able to get that, a witness for Jesus, no matter what you're going through. Amen? Verse 10 says, so I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. That's what you call faithfulness until the end. Now, I might not look like it now, but I used to be a track star at River Roots High School. Real fast, sprinter. And I could jump real high, believe it or not. But one thing I learned by Norman Dozier, he told me, if you lose sight of the finish line, you've lost the race. You might as well stop. And this is coming from somebody who was trying out in Olympic trials as a hurdler for the 68 Olympics. And he was beating the fastest hurdler in the country. And you know what he did? He glanced over, hit the last hurdle, stumbled. Had he not done so, he would have been in the Olympics. But I'm grateful, honestly, that he ended up in River Rouge to coach me and to teach me manly things, because he would pull me to the side and say, hey, do it this way, don't do it that way. And he was 6'5", and he was a black belt, and he had real rusty, hard hands. So you listen to that. And I'm like, yeah, coach, yep, all right, next. But if you lose sight of the finish line, because we're all running a race, you've lost the race. You've lost yourself in the race. So you're done. We have to be faithful to the end. We have to run through that tape as we approach, because we're fast approaching. The race is going to keep moving, whether you lollygagging and touching your thumb or not. And it's this life that the Lord blessed you with in this place and this time. I hear people say, I couldn't have been a slave. I couldn't have lived back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Well, you're here for a reason in this space and time. The people that he needed back then, he put back then. He needs you here right now. And we have too many excuses. It's a little too hot in here. Sweating my head. It rained too much. Gas too high. Paul wasn't concerned with that, the foolishness that so easily distracts us and keeps us from focusing on the finish line. He was faithful until the end, facing way more grave dangers than we do. Nobody's chasing me with a machete saying, off with your head, because you believe in Jesus. That's what they were running from, real life death threat. I've been shot at, nothing pleasant about it. So I get it to a certain degree. Verse 11 says, this is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we also live with him. Technically, we should be dying daily to ourselves so that we focus on living with him. And not just here, but looking forward to glory with him. And let's be real, from the youngest in the room to the oldest, God has been truly good to us. Amen. Too many times we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good are the cliche. We don't believe that, because the minute we get a bill we can't pay, we don't like it. DCE had the nerve to email me my bill today, and it went up by $15. I don't like it. However, I can pay it. In the scheme of things, I'm not sleeping under the freeway or in my car. I can't cut the air on. It's been a little too hot, so I do cut the air on. So, and I'm in cooking more, so, yeah. It is what it is. But the reality is, we're going to have hardships on the way to the finish line, and Jesus has always been faithful. He's always been good. So we should be focusing on living for him and with him. Amen? 12 says, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. See, the world will have you believe what the world wants you to believe. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. I'm not going to deny Jesus. He's been too good to me and my family and my brothers and sisters all around the world. The mere fact that he went to the cross in my place makes him the biggest, best brother of all. So there's no reason for me to deny him. It is what it is. I don't care about how somebody feels about Jesus not being Lord. I care about how I feel and how my father doesn't want anybody to perish, and I don't either. So I got to be a witness. I'm willing to be a witness. It's my duty. It's my mission out of love to be a witness. No matter what I'm going through, some of y'all ain't really faith hell or dealt with demons torturing you at night or in and out of your dreams. I'm going to tell you something. As you accept more of him, the target gets bigger. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that it's all good, no matter what. Boxers train to get hit. Soldiers are used to gunfire. People can shoot all around me, and I won't flinch because I'm used to it, because of training. We should be the same way, because some of us have been in this fight for decades. I know if I'm pushing 34 years, just me, yeah. I know John John been saved close to 10 years. So we should be used to hardship. We should be used to the struggle. And we should keep pressing on through it out of faithfulness. So there's no need to deny him. Because if you do, he'll deny you. 13 says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself or who he is. You know, the reality is he knows that we funny acting. He knows that we unfaithful. Sometimes I don't like people. Sometimes people don't like me. Oh, well, I've been working on my cussing, so I ain't going to say what I'm thinking. But, you know, I'm going to blame it on my field and corrections, because that's when my language changed. Yo, get your, you know. Sometimes you tell it for language. But he knows we funny acting. He knows we unfaithful. He knows soon as somebody say, hey, Kanye West said this, we running to find out what he said. Versus reading in the word what the Lord said about what you need to be doing. He knows the minute we get a few extra dollars, we go crazy. We ain't said the Lord, tithe, what's that? Now, I know people think, because when pastors say and do faith finances to you, I be watching people, you know, get all twisty and funky like, man, you know, he's talking about money. Well, let me put it to you like this. You are who you are because the Lord made you. You have what you have because he gave it to you. 100% of my finances, the money in the bank, the money in the credit union, the money in my safe, he gave to me. He said, hey, put 10% into my ministry. Reasonable. Actually, that's called the hookup. I'm going to let you work with the 90, but set this 10 off to the side. Got quiet, so I'm going to move forward. You get a mouth fart. It was so quiet. I'm going to keep it moving for y'all. Cut me. Yeah, so 14 says, remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. I am not going to waste my oxygen arguing with anybody. I am going to avoid arguing because, like I tell people, lawyers get paid handsomely to argue. $300-$500 an hour to argue. I'm arguing with you for high blood pressure. Guess what? You don't have to agree with me or feel the same way that I do. And what does it accomplish? Y'all can be mad at the word because it says such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Because somebody is always listening to you and watching you regardless of what you think. And that's the truth. If you don't believe me, work with kids. Rayfield Janice know. Work with kids. They will quote you verbatim. Because they always listen. They always watch. Well, this Miss Rogers hold his coffee cup like this, and he parks in that spot. You know that because you watch. Well, Janice drinks straight black coffee, and her lessons usually start about this time because you watch and you hear. But just like the good stuff, the bad stuff is seen and heard too. So he says, remind everybody about these things. Don't get twisted to going back and forth with a Hebrew, Israelite, or a Muslim about what you believe. Hey, I believe in Jesus. I know what he's done for me. What you believe, respectfully, brother and sister, it's all good. But I got to go. Now, understand this. The ground has been tilled for those who you're supposed to witness to. The Lord will send people to you. Because, again, somebody's always watching. Somebody's always listening. Got to be conscious of that. Me being a parent of teenagers, I definitely have to watch what I say and what I do. Because they're close to manhood. And I was reminded one time, sometimes I might have been about 4 or 5 years old, maybe. We were sitting there watching Tom and Jerry. I like Tom and Jerry. It's one of my favorite cartoons. I don't care what you think about me watching cartoons. I really don't. So, but I like it. But what I realized sitting there with this young tyke is, this is a lot of violence. They shooting and throwing knives at each other, axes, and he's just all in. And I'm like, probably wasn't a good idea. And then he's like, hey, we're going to watch Tom and Jerry. I'm like, let's go for a walk. Let's go to the playground. True story, y'all. But avoid arguing and going back and forth with folks. You witness. You're not an attorney. Our attorney is at the right hand of the Father, going to the judge on our behalf. And you don't need high blood pressure. You really don't. Because some of us are dealing with that. 15 says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explain the word of truth. A lot of translations say study to show yourself approved. But I do like this translation where it says work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive approval. When my kids bring good grades, I enjoy that. They get my stamp of approval in the field of academics. When they cut the stove off or do other little things that show, hey, we be listening sometimes, I appreciate that. I really do. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't never been felt no kind of way unless you're trying to teach a teenager how to drive at 3 o'clock in the morning on 75 going to Toledo. For real. But thankfully, I got a good driver, and it was cool. But what it showed me is I was able to relax because he did the work in the classroom, so stuff that was clicking that I said he could execute. And he received my approval as a good driver. So it's the same thing with our Father. If we work hard, put the work in, and let's be real, the hard work has already been done. Jesus plowed the field. He literally wants us to walk along and plant seeds. That's why he received the approval from the Father. Like, yes, well done. And it's the same thing with us. And he goes further. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. If you don't put the work in to study the word, how will you be able to explain the word of truth? If there's anything that the world needs right now, it's truth. I'm sick of lies. They've been trying to deal with a 20-year-old lie in Afghanistan for years, decades, 2 decades of lies. That's what it boils down to. And my mom told me this when I asked her. I said, back in the day, I said, Mom, why do people fight wars? She said, son, money. My mom had a way about doing that with me. She knew, don't talk too long, be straight to the point, because I'm a bottom line. She said, son, money. That's why we spent all that time in Vietnam and all these other places, because it's about money. Now, we talking trillions and trillions of dollars, and I'm driving by seeing people pushing shopping carts with all of their belongings in it, seeing people fighting mosquitoes, standing in the rain, begging for change in one of the richest countries in the world, but we wasted trillions of dollars trying to be the world police. After, because my brother told me this, hope I don't get no trouble. They literally were on the ship signing bombs, 9/11, we love New York, and then he stand back and watch the jets take off and drop them. That's the same country we was rebuilding after we bombed. What sense does that make? So what I'm saying is we need to do the work because Christians, God's folk, let stuff like that go on for 20 years. By standing off to the side like, God bless the truth? No. We have a job to do. What's the one-liner, if you remember nothing else about this passage? What's the job description? Not a rhetorical question. What's the job description? Be a witness for Jesus. Period. The least we can do is do that. Plant seed. Amen? I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the specifics of your word. We thank you for understanding of your word and your will and your way. But help us to take it further and to execute our mission, to be witnesses for you. That's the least we can do. You went to the cross in our place, and then you intercede You go to the Father on our behalf. You give us a lot of what we need, all of our needs, our wants, and a lot of our, even our desires. We got cool air blowing in this hot place. And that's all because of you, period. Let us give thanks in everything, no matter if it's a struggle or if it's the hookup. But to constantly be a witness no matter what, as we run through the tape at the finish line into glory. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. First Corinthians. I'm going to read it out. We learned it out the NIV, but I'm going to read it out the New Living Translation because it's a little different. 1 Corinthians 9:13-14 reads as follows. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offering. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news to be supported by those who benefit from it. We heard a word today. We benefited from it. We're going to take an offering to the preacher.
Let's say just continue housekeeping, because you know after the service, please exit to the fellowship hall, out known as outside, and continue your fellowship there. Again, it's good to see each other. In the next week especially, as you're praying, think about it. Don't just look at the news and go criticize, judge, evaluate. Look at the news and pray through the stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you hear about shootings at the gas station, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Get the scripture out. Lord, what do we pray about this? You know, how do we pray about this? Pray. When you see what's happening in Haiti, pray. I think Haiti is on earth for us to get a heart. Because people, I heard somebody say this, and it was somebody close to me. They said, well, they had voodoo. I said, well, what about New Orleans? I mean, what about Detroit? They got voodoo everywhere. Stop. Pray for Haiti. Pray for people in Haiti. Afghanistan, what's going on over there? Pray for wisdom, guidance in our government to get the people who deserve to come out safely, and the repatriation of those who will be coming to the United States where people don't want them. Pray about these things when you see these things happening. Remember your brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering, who don't have the advantages of going to Walgreens and walking in and getting a shot. Pray for those who are still on the fence. And David French wrote an article today about Christians who are using the religious exemption to not take the vaccine. Ain't no Bible in that.
Mm-hmm.
None. Pray for each other. So when you see these things, don't just judge and criticize. Pray. Talk to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
Your Bible class is on Wednesday, right? In the book of Esther. Questions, are they on the back table? They're not listening to me in the back. Okay, so the questions are on the back table for that. You know, we have our Blog Talk listeners here, and then we have Kathy's program today, Bring Back the Family. All right? Support that. Remember, coming up on the 13th of September, your mental health. If you need Dean Rogers, get a grip. We need to. Like Christian psychiatrist said, everybody needs therapy after what we've been through in the last year and a half. Everybody. If you haven't already gotten yours, this is an opportunity to come and at least come and support, nothing else. And look, we can come together. Let's do it. Pray for common sense to prevail again. And definitely praying for the opening of our schools here. Some of our children have already started going back, but they have a little more wisdom up here. But pray for places like Texas and Florida, Alabama and Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, places where in Florida, I don't know if you saw on the news, but in Tampa Bay, Florida, they're having to cut back their water usage to provide liquid oxygen for the people who are in the hospitals with COVID. Come on now, Tampa Bay, Florida, beautiful, right there on the ocean. And they're having to reduce their water usage to 50% and maybe more coming because they need the water filtration system for the liquid oxygen that they're providing for COVID patients. You want to compare that to something? Remember in India when they were running out of oxygen? And India is a way poor country. So that's right here in America this is happening. That's what he said. We got to be faithful. We got to endure. We got to rank. If we endure, we get to reign with him. How do we get to reign with him? By standing to your feet. We also get to reign with him by exercising our authority at the throne of grace. That's the most important thing next to witnessing that we can do is to pray. We get to talk to God. Amen?
Amen.
Continue to pray for our mothers. You see Mother Marilyn. She's not been well, but she's here.
Amen.
She's still enduring with her back.
Yes,
we pray for Mother Cheryl. I saw her last week. Please pray for her. Difficult being a caregiver. That's an understatement. If you survive, it's only by the grace of God when you're a caregiver. So pray for her as she cares for Tyrone and pray for him as well. Pray for Mother Irma, of course, who's here. Mother Person, who's here. My churches can't say their mothers are here, but ours are here. Please pray for Mother Louisa. Probably still down there partying and turning it out, but still, it's all right. She good. Pray for it. Pray for the people who are caring for them and the families. A lot of burden to care. We got to leave off. I got all my mothers. Yep. Each other, good to see you. You look good. See me getting out. They're going to be on Blog Talk. What do we do now? It's okay. What else? Schools, prayer, Haiti, church. Oh, okay. Thank you. I think somebody was trying to tell me that. So pray for Elder Joe Stevens and his wife Cheryl. Her father passed. I think, is that Elder Elam? Elam? Yeah. Yeah, Elder Elam, so, yeah. So pray for the first. He's been a soldier a long time, so glory to God. When I hear people over a certain age go home, glory to God. Glory to God, yeah. But still pray for the family because the longer you have them, y'all know, the harder it is when you lose them. But in all things, we can bear his name. The way we walk through all these things, the way we endure.
Thank you.
congratulate Grandma Lisa over here in the birth of her new grandson, Thomas. I see COVID babies, they're going to be driving next week. So bless God. Thank you. And we'll see y'all. Have a good week. Oops.